It's all right, John announced, emerging from his hiding place. I say, Peter, can you really fly? Instead of troubling to answer him, Peter flew around the room, taking the mantelpiece on the way.
How topping,
said John and Michael.
How sweet,
cried Wendy.
Yes, I'm sweet. Oh, I am sweet,
said Peter, forgetting his manners again. It looked delightfully easy, and they tried it first from the floor and then from the beds, but they always went down instead of up. I say, how do you do it? Asked John, rubbing his knee. He was quite a practical boy.
You just think lovely, wonderful thoughts,
Peter explained.
And they lift you up in the air.
He showed them again. You're so nippy at it, said John. Couldn't you do it very slowly once? Peter did it both slowly and quickly. I've got it now, Wendy, cried John, but soon found he had not. Not one of them could fly an inch, even though Michael was in words of two syllables and Peter did not know A from Z. Of course, Peter had been trifling with them, for no one can fly unless the fairy dust has been blown on him. Fortunately, as we've mentioned, one of his hands was messy with it, and he blew some on each of them with the most superb results.
Now, just wiggle your shoulders this way,
he said,
and let go.
They were all on their beds, and gallant Michael let go first. He did not quite mean to let go, but he did it, and immediately he was borne across the room. I flewed, he screamed while still in mid-air. John let go and met Wendy near the bathroom.
Oh, lovely!
Oh, ripping! Look at me! Look at me!
Look at me!
They were not nearly so elegant as Peter. They could not help kicking a little, but their heads were bobbing against the ceiling, and there was almost nothing so delicious as that. Peter gave Wendy a hand at first, but had to desist. Tink was so indignant. Up and down they went, and round, heavenly was Wendy's word. I say, cried John, why shouldn't we all go out? Of course, it was to this that Peter had been luring them. Michael was ready. He wanted to see how long it took him to do a billion miles, but Wendy hesitated.
Mermaids,
said Peter again.
Ooh!
And there are pirates.
Pirates, cried John, seizing his Sunday hat. Let us go at once. It was just at this moment that Mr. and Mrs. Darling hurried with Nana out of 27. They ran into the middle of the street to look up at the nursery window, and yes, it was still shut. But the room was ablaze with light, and most heart-gripping sight of all, they could see in shadows on the curtain three little figures in night attire circling round and round, not on the floor, but in the air. Not three figures, four! In a tremble, they opened the street door. Mr. Darling would have rushed upstairs, but Mrs. Darling signed him to go softly. She even tried to make her heart go softly. Will they reach the nursery in time? If so, how delightful for them! And we shall all breathe a sigh of relief, but there will be no story. On the other hand, if they are not in time, I solemnly promise that it will all come right in the end. They would have reached the nursery in time had it not been that the little stars were watching them. Once again, the stars blew the window open. And that smallest star of all called out, Cave, Peter! Then Peter knew there was not a moment to lose.
Come!
He cried imperiously and soared out at once into the night, followed by John and Michael and Wendy. Mr. and Mrs. Darling and Nana rushed into the nursery too late. The birds were flown.